Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode number 46 of the Peak of Serenity podcast. As always, I am one of your hosts, Emilson. And this week, we have a little bit of a switcheroo because Anomaly has some family stuff that's going on. We have Panini filling in for him today.
Hello there.
Hello. It's been a little while since you've been on the show, but you've been on it a few times at this point?
Three or four.
You want to give people a quick rundown of what you're doing these days?
Sure. So I am tanking for occasional excellence in the other team opposite to Emilson. I am also the spec leader slash coordinator slash whatever title you want to use for the Brewmaster portion of the Peak of Serenity website. Yeah, those are the important bits.
So today, because Anom had to be out, we are going to have a little bit of a shorter episode. We are going to focus on just kind of what happened in the past week. Some maybe related topics that we're going to get into. In particular, I mentioned this last week about crafting legendaries and the costs associated with that. But we're going to talk a little bit about the cost of leatherworking legendaries in the show today. But it's going to be
a rant.
A little bit of both. A little bit of column A, a little bit of column B. We're going to have a good time. It's fine. Yeah. So before we get into that, though, let's kick things off by talking about the stuff that happened this week. And I mean, honestly, for week two of the expansion, it's been pretty quiet.
It's been quiet enough that I'm scared for next week.
Heroic tuning still has me concerned, especially one of the items on our list for today. They nerfed one of the prop paladin conduits, their potency conduits, by 70% this weekend, which is a very large nerf. The conduit in question, Punish the Guilty, was very, 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 very far ahead, to the point that it was actually farther ahead. Like, it was so far ahead that the conduit by itself was worth more than most specs' entire soulbind trees plus conduits together. So it was a needed nerf, and they did have the courtesy to ensure that even after the nerf, it's actually still their best conduit, which gives me a little bit of hope, I guess.
Also says a lot about the conduit when it's nerfed by 70%
and
still,
it is still their best. Yeah.
It was way out there.
It was about a 10% DPS gain to have that conduit on. Sad to say, I did not get that conduit on my paladin until today, which today being after the nerf. So I did not get to enjoy it in its full glory, but it's still very good. But yeah, not a whole lot else has happened this week. I guess there's one other big thing. So we had speculated, well, been speculating, that the drop rate of legendary memories was higher in higher difficulties of content. So if you went into the normal dungeon, it would be lower drop rate than if you did the mythic dungeon. Turns out it doesn't appear that that was the case, but following a hotfix, that is now the case. So you will get, no drop rates have been lowered, all the drop rates just went strictly up. But if you do a Mythic Zero dungeon, you are much more likely to get the legendary memory than you would be doing the normal or heroic version of that dungeon, which matters a lot for next week, when you can repeatedly run the Mythic Plus version of that instance and get your legendary in relatively few runs. I know we did a Mythic Zero sweep today. I was playing my paladin for a cloth stack, and we got a lot of legendaries today, a lot of legendary memories.
Yeah, they seemed, if I had to ballpark, because we had four paladins in my group, so we got a sampling, and if I had to ballpark, it's probably around 50% in Mythic Zeros, which is pretty high. I mean, yeah. We pretty consistently, if it dropped a legendary for Paladins, two of us got it.
Yeah. I don't even know where the good Paladin legendaries drop from, to be entirely honest, because it's been so far down my priority list this past week before I even think about that. But I have 5 or 6 now sitting in my Paladins bags.
Yeah, they've done a lot, or they went up a lot. There's kind of two ways to read that blog post. Like, they may have already scaled with difficulty, just now they scale a lot more.
Maybe. But that's true.
It's definitely buffed. you can definitely tell that it's buffed.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's a very noticeable change. It's a very good change. Because especially with all the extra steps you have to go through to actually craft the legendary, you have to get the Soul Ash, you have to get the base item, having to care about actually acquiring the legendary memory as well, especially after the shit show that was Legion legendary acquisition and the shit show that was Azerite acquisition. Having it be reliable that you can actually get the legendary that you want is nice. It's very nice to not have to pray to RNGesus that you're going to get the drop today. You will be able to get that key piece of your class. But yeah, aside from that, it's largely just bug fixes from the past week. There is nothing that I saw that really stood out to me as like, oh, this is a particularly, you know, interesting bug fix. There's the one general call apparently could bug out in Sanguine Depths, where if you chain pulled all the way through, which we did today in our Mythic Clear, she could bug out and keep her like damage reduction aura that she gets when running between packs. Because if there's no pack for her to run to, she doesn't remove it, or didn't. Now she will. But other than that, like, pretty tame.
Yeah, there was a hotfix note in there about the last boss of the other side, Muazzala, that it was something along the lines of Muazzala's totems can no longer be clicked early or something like that.
Oh yeah, you were telling me about that bug.
That hotfix, that one patch note is the accumulation of probably about 5 or 10 bug fixes on that fight. Nice. There were so many. Originally, if you got to the platform quickly, you could click it, or you could click the totem before the ghost spawn, instantly end the phase. Everyone was happy. Fight ended in a minute. So that was the first version. They fixed that. But if you pulled the boss and reset it, you could do it again. They fixed that one. If you killed one ghost, it was unlocking all of them, which was also hilarious.
Okay, yeah. So you pitch a death one and you can click all four.
there's a lot of bug fixes in that one patch note, and it's really hilarious, actually.
Yeah. Yep. There is one other set of patch notes actually that I think is interesting. Let me see if I can actually find the entire list of changes that they made to warriors and rogues in Torghast.
Oh yeah,
because there were a lot.
Yeah,
let me see if I can find those.
They needed it.
They needed it. But wow, they did a lot. I know. And this is here we go. Torghast tuning for rogues and warriors. So here's the list. It's mostly changes to Torghast powers, to anima powers. And they're primarily defensive. Like, they're mostly defensive increases. There's one or two different increases that buff their damage. But from talking to the rogues in our guild, the problem was never the damage. The problem was getting one shot or two shot.
Oh, yeah.
So That is something that I actually have low-key experienced on my monk as well, going in there as a Windwalker. Windwalker is also not particularly durable outside of Touch of Karma. But Windwalker has better defensives for Torghast. Obviously, that doesn't necessarily translate to raid, but in Torghast, their defensives are better than Rogue's, I guess.
There's also, you know, Monk also has some fun things like Tokane's nice clip of going over to a wall and jumping in place and spamming to kill the boss with that that Weapon of Order power.
Oh, yeah.
That one's a fun one.
Yep. Oh, wait, can you find that clip?
I can for you real quick.
But, yeah, so this is honestly more tuning than I expected given this week, too. This is pretty significant. And there's a little bit more tuning that happened as well. Let me see if I can find it. To Warriors. Oh, this is from a while ago. They got a little bit more tuning on Friday.
The clips in your DMs.
All right. I'll pull that up in just a second. Yeah, I don't know where it is. But they did do more tuning to Warriors on Friday to further improve their success rate in Torghast. Which now... We've had 2 weeks of Torghast. What do you think of it?
It's okay. It needs a lot more variety or I'm going to get sick of it real fast.
Yeah, I was noticing. So like on my Paladin, there's really one build, right? There's the Hammer of Wrath build. And yeah. That's basically it. You take all the powers that say Hammer of Wrath on them, and then you throw hammers at the boss until it dies. And that's really all you get. And kind of the same thing with Windwalker. I think Windwalker and to a lesser extent, like Brewmaster have two different builds you could do. There's the Celestial one where you take everything that says Zuin or Niazhao on it and you just stack those and you get a Zuin that lasts forever and all that stuff. Or
Also, kudos if you're playing Venthyr Monk with it, so you can be the real pet walker.
You can also take max HP increases plus Touch of Death powers. And really, max HP increases by itself is a build, because if you can get to the point that you can just Touch of Death the last boss, like you're golden. I don't know if that's possible, but I had 100k health, so it's within the realm of possibility.
I don't know that you could do it in a 6-floor run, but once we start getting Twisted Corridors, that's 18 floors in a run, and that gets really silly. On beta, those runs were real fun by the end.
All right, so let me see. I've got this clip from Tokane. Unfortunately, it's not a Twitch clip, which makes it harder for me to show, but... Let's do this. So this is Tokane's Beginner's Guide to Torghast, and I have not seen this before. Oh my god.
Yeah, it's really funny.
Well, is that a Weapons of Order power?
Yep, that's tied to Weapons of Order. It's while Weapons of Order is active, every time you jump or roll, it shoots a little bolt.
That's amazing. That is amazing. I don't think they expected it to be used that way.
I don't think so. Shoutouts also to the Bone Dust Brew one that makes it a 3% chance to copy at 10,000% damage.
I have not seen that one, but it sounds hilarious. Oh my god. Your Keg Smash could just one-shot things.
Yeah, it's a 3% chance that whatever it copies it's an insta-kill.
Wow. I mean, so then you just generate as many events as humanly possible and
you're lucky. Yeah, pretty much.
Hoping it's not an Eye of the Tiger tick that it procs on and is instead on your blackout kick or keg smash that you get that lucky 10,000%. It's wild.
There's some fun ones in Targast. Like, I'm going to enjoy going through and doing a couple runs on every class. Like, this is the one thing that I am looking forward to is I made it, as soon as I started doing Targast, I said to myself, I'm going to level everything just so that I can do a couple runs of the Twisted Corridors or whatever, the 18 floor one on every class and just get really silly.
Yep. And Twisting Corridors opens next week, right?
It opens whenever we finish this weekly gated intro quest, which I think was 6 weeks. So I think it's two rotations of three.
Weekly gated intro quest?
So they're the quest line that we're gated, that we're getting one quest a week from Bolvar.
Oh, that one. Yes. Which, if you have not done that, if you did your Torghast but didn't pick up that quest, go to Bolvar and pick up the quest.
It gives it to you automatically if you start a run and don't have it.
Oh, okay. Well, that's nice at least.
Yep. I discovered that on my Paladin. It's very nice.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of unfortunate because that also time gates the more obtainable Maw mount.
Both loosely time gated, as we discovered.
Yeah. The other one comes from the Beast Warrens in the Maw. There's a rare there that the rotation, it sounds like, is half a week, same as the rotation on the Azerite or the Corruption Vendor.
Yeah, it's 3.5 days and there's four things. So it comes up one or for 3.5 days every 2 weeks.
Yeah. But the Beast Warrens is gated by reputation with Venari. So you have to have done quite a bit of the Maw before you can even access that rare. Which, I mean, I'm progressively spending less and less time in the Maw. Because I just don't care.
I know that there's a lot of optimization things that I could do in the Maw. You know, there's the stuff like get all your quests 90% done and then get to level 5 and then finish your quests in one sweep. Man, that stuff is so much effort and so unfulfilling and just, oh my God, it's so painful. I can't be bothered. It's such a marginal gain. I cannot be bothered.
It's like, I'm honestly not even sure if I should bother going and doing the daily quests, right?
The
daily quests give 75 rep.
Yeah, they're among the least efficient ways to get rep. It's really annoying.
So if I'm going to go and spend 30 minutes in the Maw, it's going to be doing rares or the mini bosses or one of the events that spawns.
Now that Perdition's Hold is open, a full sweep of all of the big rares gets you to level 5 of the Eye of the Jailer, even if you do no daily quests.
Okay, good to know. I don't like doing the rares either, but I would rather do them than the dailies, to be entirely honest.
Yeah, it's also the most efficient way to get rep, which is really annoying. You if you're being real min-maxy, you do a full sweep of all the big rares, you get your quests to 90% done, do a full sweep of all the big rares, and then turn in or finish all your quests once you're at level 5, because the quests still give rep and Stygia after you're level 5 and can't get it. And then if you're doing that, you have about 3 weeks of hating your life, and then you can buy sockets. Or you cannot do that, and you have about 4 weeks of only mildly hating your life, and you can buy sockets.
And then you can get sockets. Yeah. I'm going to be honest, I'm probably looking at more like 6 weeks, and then I can get sockets, just because of how little I care about sockets.
I'm in the same boat. I
simmed my character to see how much damage I would get from adding a single socket. And it was such a small number, from adding all 6 sockets. And it was such a small number that I was just like, am I really going to go and spend 40 minutes 50 minutes in the maw every day for this. Like, am I really going to do that? And then I proceeded to go and spend 50 minutes testing out a new leather farming spot, which.
Oh, leather. Leather.
speaking of leather, let's talk about leatherworking.
Yeah, let's talk about leatherworking.
We touched on this earlier. You need a leather base item as a monk in order to craft your legendary. That base or precursor item comes from leatherworking. It's made, you know, using regular leatherworking mats. There's nothing special about it. It's a white item with no stats. All it is a thing that has an eye level on it and a slot. So you get a helm, or you get some shoulders, you get a chest, you know, you get an item that then you put things on. And actually, I'm going to hop on WoW right now so I can pull up the auction house on Terralian. We have a small problem in that some of the materials that you need to legendaries for leather in particular.
Yeah,
the requirements are very high. They are very high. So, some context as well. We've talked before about like rank 1, rank 2, rank 3, and rank 4 legendaries. By default, all you can do is you can craft rank 1s. That's the recipe that the leatherworking trainer will sell you, is rank 1 of your base item. In order to get rank 2, you need to craft 15 rank 1s. Not rank 1s total. 15 rank 1s in that slot. So if you want a rank 2 helm, you need to craft 15 rank 1 helms. Are you going to use 15 rank 1 helms? No, there are only 12 legendaries that you use. So even if you crafted one of each, you'd have to craft multiple of the same legendary in order to use all 15 yourself. But even then, next week, we will have enough soul ash to craft rank 2s. But let's say you're in a guild, your guild wants to help people get their legendaries, and to do that, they're looking at funneling resources to a single crafter so they can do all the legendary crafting and get all of your legendaries done at minimal cost, you know, to individual people. How much does that cost?
Do you happen to have Babs' spreadsheet of our materials deficit right now?
I don't have Babs' spreadsheet. I have my spreadsheet. Yeah,
there's a couple of them floating around in the guild right now. I have my spreadsheet.
Yeah. So this is my spreadsheet of all the materials requirements for leatherworking and what we're doing with them. And of note, like, we did a survey. We have 2 raid teams. So we did a survey and we figured out what is the right way for us to do the legendary crafting so that people can get their legendaries through crafting. And we gave everybody, you could pick 2 slots. And then I did this thing. I basically did, like, treated it as a ranked choice voting kind of thing, and then use that to narrow down the slots that we need so we didn't have to craft literally every single leather slot to rank 4. But in order for us to get rank 1 for everybody, which is the least expensive option by a very large margin, we would need 3,250 leather, 2,910 callus hide. Now, if you've done any skinning at all, that second number probably means something to you, because the drop rate of callus hide is about 1/10 that of the leather, but you need almost the same amount. So suddenly that 3,000 callus hide means you need to skin basically 30,000 desolate leather to get your legendary. or to get legendaries in this case for two raid teams. And you know what? On the surface, that actually doesn't seem too bad for, you know, covering the needs of two entire raid teams. Like, okay. Seems okay. If we go up to rank two, we need 20,000 Kallus Hides.
I don't think that there's 20,000 Kallus Hides on Turalyon since.
Okay, I think there are now.
Oh, well, yeah. What OE has now done there is because we imported 20,000 of them.
We imported almost 20,000 Kallus Hides so that we could craft rank twos. I'm going to hop on my character. I'm going to go outside. I'm going to get on my yak, and I'm going to pull up the auction house. Now, I have some notes that I put in our show notes on Thursday evening about the cost of these legendaries. And one of them, so we currently have about 14,000 Kallus Hides total, of which 5,000 almost are being sold by someone who imported them.
Yeah, it's really silly right now. What's going on Turalyon?
I'm pretty sure this other one here, this other 5,000 that's all at the same price, is the same thing. There's one other raiding guild on the server that also has two teams and probably did the same thing that we did. Because at the time last week, we were trying to figure out what to do and how we were going to come up with 20,000 Kallus Hides. There were less than 500 on the auction house for our server.
Yeah, it was let's just say
to make one legendary, you need 150. We couldn't even make four legendaries.
Yep. Let's say just a thank you and apologies to the leather market on Bleeding Hollow and Area 52.
Yeah. For real. So, and for a while, let me switch to the WoW UI for this. If we pull up, for example, the cloth rune carving items, these are the different items that you can get as your base items for crafting a legendary. And this might not be super visible on stream, but a rank one item, which is eye level 190, costs around 1,000 gold if you wear cloth. 1,000 gold is pretty palatable, honestly. If you want a rank 2, you're looking at about 10,000 with a couple outliers being around 40,000 for no discernible reason. If you go up 225, now you're starting to get into the pricier stuff, maybe 70, 80,000 gold. And for rank 4, you're still looking at 300,000, 400,000 gold for your legendary. If we look at leather, rank 1s run you 40,000, 50,000, 70,000. They're the same price as a rank 3 cloth item. Getting a rank 2 costs over 100,000 gold. 150,000 gold for most slots.
And you can't even get rank 3.
You can't even buy rank 3s. There is one person on the server that I know of that has a singular rank 3 leatherworking recipe, and it's the mail helmet. I know because they keep advertising it because they're the only one that can do it.
Yeah, there's there's some choice words that I could give for what this does to the economies on smaller servers.
Oh, it destroys them. There's more. I have these hot fixes like pulled up. Pow mentioned to me while we were discussing this that this is after they nerfed leatherworking on November 13th, a week before the expansion released. And I just want to, so let's look at, for example, the Bone Shatter Gauntlets. These are the mail gloves. The heavy callus hide requirement, which is the main, that and the enchanted heavy callus hide requirements. These are the main source of materials requirements for these items. Reagent heavy callus hide amount decreased from 15 to 4. Enchanted heavy callus cost two Kalasides, heavy Kalasides, from 10 to 4. They cut these by 70% a week before the expansion release.
And it's still the most expensive.
By a large margin. It is so expensive. So, and we're not even done yet. So, let's say that you are a leather worker and a skinner, and you want to collect the materials to make your own legendary. Let me pull up in this sheet real quick. Let's say you want legendary gloves. I'm just going to real quick just delete all these. So it's the mat requirement for just one item. And also going to delete this stuff. It says what our guild bank has, because you don't have our guild bank. So if you wanted to make rank 2 leather gloves, you would need almost 2,000 callus hides. Or about 20,000 desolate leather. That's about like, if you farmed up 20,000 desolate leather, you would have about the right amount of callicides. Based on the numbers I got from skinning, I tried every single skinning spot that people sent me. I tried places in Ardenweald, and I have recommendations. I tried places in Ardenweald, in Bastion. There's different world quests. They nerfed a world quest in Bastion that you used to be able to skin the Aetherworms in. And they were just like infinitely spawning because everybody was doing the world quest for their enemy and their calling. And so like you could just sit there and skin and skin and skin and skin. And it was really efficient, and they nerfed it. You can't do that anymore. But there are other places that are reasonably efficient with like basically infinite spawns. By my best estimates, you're looking at slightly under 200 callicides per hour. So if you wanted to craft your own rank 2 gloves, you're looking at 10 hours of skinning for one slot. And you're like, okay, like I can put in 10 hours of time over a couple of weeks and get my rank 2. That's not too unreasonable. I can do that. If you wanted to go all the way and get your rank 4, you would need to quintuple that. You are looking at almost 50 hours of skinning to get your rank 4 in a single slot. Now, I don't know about you, Pow, but 50 hours for one slot is a long, long time.
We've been talking in our officer chats about ways that we can incentivize people to go out and skin, and you know, can we make this a competition? Can we set a competition of whoever donates the most skins gets some reward from the guild?
Right.
We've been going out of our way to figure out like how can we crowdsource this, because this is insane.
And it's really not possible. Like if we look at it, in order for us to get rank 2, it would take 20,000 hides. Okay, we go from 50 hours to 100 hours, and that 100 hours has to be, even if we distribute it across the guild, it's still 100 hours that people have to spend grinding leather.
Yeah, and I mean, we're doing this, so it seems that Blizzard's design intention is that, you know, you have one crafter for the guild who's making right. all the legendaries, and that's what we're doing, and it's still ridiculous. We're doing this probably even more than most teams would, because we have one crafter for two raid teams.
Yeah, like we cannot be more efficient in terms of our crafting setup. Like we literally cannot be more efficient. The only way we could do better is to improve the rate at which we can acquire hides from skinning. We have a couple of ideas that we're still going to try. Abusing dungeons to like go into Mists of Tirna Scyth and clear the instance with a full group in normal, and then have someone skin all the Gwarm in there, or the Gorm, whatever they are, and while the others go out and reset and start clearing the next instance, something like that, because the elites have a much higher rate of dropping the hides, but because of the amount of time you have to spend actually clearing the dungeon, we're not actually sure if that's going to be better than just going to Bastion and killing some mobs.
Yeah, That doesn't even get us started on the requirements for cauldrons and the fact that Shadestone is gated behind a vowed rep.
I haven't looked at consumable prices whatsoever on the upside. Because of how many hides are needed, the leather for the armor kits is basically free.
Which is a good thing, by the way, because...
Yeah,
because
they take a lot.
Supplying... So this is a nice little tidbit that I crunched these numbers before we started the tier and was very concerned about them initially. Because supplying our one raid team with armor kits, one of our raid teams with armor kits for a week, as an 8-hour team with a moderately sized roster, it's 8,000 leather a week. Mm-hmm. That's a pretty sizable chunk. 8,000 leather is nothing to scoff at.
It's very large, which, I mean, put in context, that is about 4 hours of skinning a week. And that's something that, like, yes, it is a lot. But if you have two skinners on the team, like, put on a movie on a Saturday and go do some skinning. Like, yeah, it's a lot. No, I'm not happy about it. But between that and the low, low price of leather on the auction house, as it's panned out, that I think is actually not too bad, which is sad, but it's nothing compared to the cost of the legendaries.
Yeah, my only hope is that those free bags of herbs and, you know, leather and whatever that you get,
they're asked.
Soul binds, the ones that you get bags. For your soul binds.
Oh, from the soul binds? I haven't gotten one from the soul binds. I have them from the mission table.
We start unlocking the free bags, I want to say either next week or the week after. I don't remember which. I think it's...
Can you imagine if the free bags contain so much callous hide that they just destabilize the economy?
I vaguely remember them containing a lot of materials, and I'm concerned that right now the most efficient way to get materials is going to end up being just go mass farm mobs for these bag drops.
Oh my god. Well, if you do need to do that, I know a place.
Yeah.
They happen to also be skinnable, so double value? But yeah, this is real nuts. Like I said, we have imported about 20,000 Callous Hide, and we're not a World 100 guild or anything like that. This is insane. This is honestly insane.
Yeah, I mean, we came into this expansion with, 5 to 7 million in the guild bank?
We're down to one now?
I think, yeah, we're down to one.
We don't even have enough hides in the guild bank to actually make all of our rank 2 legendaries, for the record.
Yeah. I'm not really sure. We're gonna have to go real hard on sales on Heroic Week. We're gonna be probably trying to figure out how to sell ahead of the curve and things like that on Heroic Week, because there is no way.
No way, man.
Fund all of these things without sales, and it's gonna be interesting.
Like, we had a lot of people that were pretty ambivalent about us selling things on Heroic, because it's a lot of effort, honestly. Like, week one is the best time, but it's a lot of effort, and we would rather just enjoy the raid tier. But someone's got to pay for these legendaries, man. And right now, the guild bank does not have the dough.
Yeah, I don't even know how, like...
We mentioned earlier, you literally cannot on our realm. You cannot buy high-ranked leather legendaries. They do not exist.
Yeah, I mean, I think the only thing that we could have possibly done better would have been trying to work with Daybreak and Astral and trying to have, like, one crafter for all three guilds.
For the entire server. literally set up a mercantile system where there's a designated merchant for each profession, basically.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the only way that this server could have possibly sustained it with just the economy of Corralia.
Again, we don't have, like, we're not on a tiny server. There's 5 raid teams on this server. 2 in our guild, 2 in Astral, 1 other I don't remember the name of. But there's 5 CE raid teams on our server. There's people here. not like login queue every night kinds of people, but there are people here. This is absolutely nuts. Absolutely nuts. Like, to get all of our rank fours is almost 2 months of 8 hour days of skinning.
Yeah, I don't usually like being, I mean, I don't like being a doubter and just kind of ranting about things like this, but this is just insane. These numbers are so far out of line that it's crazy.
Yep. Like, the thing that really blows my mind, and I feel like someone somewhere didn't actually look at, like, the materials cost to make enchanted heavy hide or whatever. And just kind of assumed it was lower than it actually is. Because I haven't looked either at the actual crafting cost of, like, the materials cost of the cloth items. So maybe this is the same on them. And just the acquisition rates are so different that it becomes insane. But it blows my mind that we need almost as many callous hides as we need desolate leather. With the drop rates being so disparate, with it being a factor of 10 difference between the two. Leather is basically free, but hides barely exist. Like,
yeah, I mean, I think we had enough cloth to cover our legendary crafting by day 3 or 4 of the expansion, of just asking everyone, hey, when you level, just dump all your cloth in the guild bank.
Yeah, we did the same, but, you know, there's like 3 people that had skinning because everybody dropped skinning in BFA because the scrapper existed. Which certainly didn't help things. And I think we're actually a little bit still paying for that in terms of, like, total income of skins. Now that callous hides are actually real good money, you can farm for a couple of hours, make decent gold, less gold now that, you know, we have less demand because, again, we imported hides from Hypop servers. And I don't like saying that out loud because it sounds like that's like economy manipulation kind of stuff, but we're just trying to craft our legendary so that we can raid.
Yeah. And when we started talking about this in officer chat, I'm looking at this and I'm like, this is, I never, at the world rank that we're at, I mean, I've been in guilds that were, you know, in the top 50 world and top 20 world and things like that. Like, and I've seen people doing it at that level and I'm like, okay, it's understandable. We are not that.
We're and world 500.
I never expected to be in this situation.
We are world 500. And this is, I mean, it blows my mind. This is 2 tiers in a row that they've missed in this kind of fashion. Like, last tier, we had people transferring around, buying BOEs that never, ever would have considered paying what they paid for BOEs as much as they did last year because of corruption. Like, we had one of our guildies put together that WoW pay to win site that literally just looked up BOE corruption BOEs on the auction house across the entire game so that you could do realm transfers to buy the BOEs with the corruption you needed before the corruption vendor existed. It was wild. I had never bought a BOE for raid before. I still didn't, but I checked the auction house for any good Twilight Devastation BOEs. And then again, like this tier, like, we're realm transferring guild banks for materials to craft our legendaries. This is such a huge miss that if we don't see a hotfix on Tuesday, I will be shocked.
Yeah. It's something. It's, I could go into a lot more choice words that are not appropriate for this broadcast. That would describe the situation much more appropriately.
And given the relative recency of the nerfs to the leatherworking materials costs, like that it happened the week before the expansion, it looks to me like someone that was working on it looked at that and went, oh no, that's too high. And nerfed it by, they didn't have time to figure out what the right number was, but they were like, if I chop 75% off, it's probably okay, right? No. It's not okay. Because, like, so to craft a single legendary, you need 150 heavy hides. 50 of them go into crafting 5 heavy callous hides. Sorry, did I say 150 heavy hides? 150 hides. 50 of them go into crafting your heavy callous hides. 100 of them go into crafting your enchanted heavy calisites. And some part of me wonders if someone just missed that the enchanting recipe requires that many hides. Because it's double the actual requirement of the heavy hides. You need more materials sent to the enchanter than you actually give to the leather worker.
Yeah, these numbers don't pass any kind of sanity check.
So Lincoln is talking in the chat, like, I think I'm on a smaller server and we have tons of rank 2 leather. We have tons of rank 2 leather as well, by some definition of tons. Like, they're expensive, but you can go to the auction house and buy one. But it stops there. It stops at rank 2. There are no rank 3s. There are 0 rank 3s on the auction house.
And also, 100,000 gold for a rank 2 legendary is not accessible to most players. Most players are going to be able to craft their rank 2 next week. They can't fork over 100,000 gold for a legendary.
And that's where I expect Blizzard to actually get the pressure. When Tuesday hits and people finish their Torghast runs and they get their Soul Ash and they go to craft their rank 2 legendary, oh boy, Reddit's going to be mad. Yeah, we have rank 4 of cloth. Rank 4 of cloth is still expensive. Like, you're looking at anywhere from 150,000 to 400,000 gold for a rank 4 of cloth.
Yeah, and our crafter in guild can make rank 4 of plate.
I don't know about the plate cost. I didn't look it up. It's a lot lower, though. Rank 4 of plate exists on our auction house. I did check that before going. I could hop back on a while, but I really don't feel like it right now. We've actually been going longer than I expected us to. But this is, like, right now on our server, the rank 1s for cloth cost about 1k. The rank 1s for leather cost anywhere from 20k at the extreme low end, because a couple of people dropped 30 rank 1s in that slot on the auction house and have been in the bidding war. Anywhere from that, about 20,000 gold, up to 80,000 gold for a rank 1. Rank 1, you're going up over 150k for most slots for rank 2. The cheapest slots are around 100k for rank 2 for leather. It's wild. It's absolutely... I can keep going on about how insane it is all day, but really, I don't understand this at all, and I expect to see a hotfix relatively soon. Because this is too much.
Yep.
Like, and we know they are paying attention to crafting things. They did a hotfix this week that, on its face, it looks kind of shitty because it increases some of the prices of vendor materials. But basically what it did is it made it no longer profitable to craft items, to disenchant, to create enchants, to vendor, or something like that. There was some loop that you could do with crafting.
It was basically just a straight vendor shuffle. You crafted things to sell them to a vendor for a profit.
Yeah. So they fixed that. So, like, they are looking at these crafting issues, but yeah, it's pretty crazy. But that aside, I think there's one more thing I wanted to touch on, and that is this lovely hotfix that came in on Friday. The Heart of Azeroth no longer increases tank threat. I was still wearing mine.
I think it's hilarious. first of all, that it was an oversight, and second of all, that... I had been wondering why threat felt worse after I did my Mythic Zero pass than before.
This is why.
Yeah. It's
very noticeable.
It's noticeable, and threat does not feel good now.
It's a 30% cut in threat. I was having a real annoying time playing my Paladin today on our cloth stack. Someone would hit CDs even a few seconds into a pull. Like, it's not like they're hitting them literally on pull, because they know what they're doing. And they would just rip things off me. And I'm playing a Paladin. And some of that is, like, you know, maybe they hit their cooldowns and they hit a different mob than I threw my Hammer of Wrath at during Wings. But it's still, oh boy, in 3 weeks when they've got all their legendaries and they're doing like triple the damage they are now, and we're doing maybe double the damage we are now, if that.
It's
going to be spicy, that's for sure.
There's something really special about sitting on my paladin and being the top DPS on an AoE pole and watching the sixth mob walk away from me towards the red paladin.
Dude, at least Shield of the Righteous isn't capped, right?
It's not, but like...
But if you don't hit them with the Shield of the Righteous, like,
it's not... If it's a little off to the side, if it's like, whatever, like, yes, it's user error, I didn't name it correctly.
Yeah, but no, I totally understand. It feels
really bad to look down and say, I am beating him in damage and he's pulling threat off of me because an ability is just not hitting enough targets.
I had... The
modifier is so bad that the one that isn't enough.
I had to tell the people in my group that... when I threw my shield on pull, if there were more than three targets, they needed to watch which ones I hit before they hit anything at all. Like, even just, like, little abilities. Because otherwise they would pull away from me, and I would have a hell of a time getting them back. Because I only have one taunt.
Yeah, there's... It feels real bad. There's definitely, like, oh, yes, you can... You can get better and play around it and play for it. And like,
I don't think you can do that as Brewmaster. I think I'm going to have to run Statue tomorrow when we do our Mythic Zero Leather sweep. I fully expect to have to switch from Rop to Statue.
That's a possibility. But there's some things that you can do to play around it and yada, yada, yada. But that doesn't change the fact that it just doesn't feel good. It's not fun.
Yep.
Doing competitive damage with the DPS and then the DPS pulls aggro because there was one mob more than you could hit with your spammed AoE. That doesn't feel good.
And, I mean, Brewmaster's gonna... like, I can be top damage on pulls, but you want to know where that damage comes from? Invoke Neo Zao.
Touch of Death. Just generate threat.
And Touch of Death kills a mob, does nothing to anything else, so... Everything else I still don't have threat on.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not looking forward to that sweep tomorrow. My paladin does tons of damage because I went Venthyr, so I was able to drop Ashen Hallow and have threat on basically anything I wanted to. Every 4 minutes, but still I could do that. So I could do big pulls and still have threat on 10 targets. I don't know how I'm doing that on my monk. Probably running Statue, honestly, but it's not gonna be fun.
Yeah, I mean, it's night and day how much of a difference it makes if you're running with a single rogue or hunter, just because that little bit of threat is enough to make it feel super smooth. And all I can think is, why not just give us that 10% buff? A hunter isn't giving, you know, isn't doubling my threat gen on pull. A hunter's giving me...
They actually might be doubling your threat gen. I mean, a hunter might not be. A BM hunter probably isn't, but a rogue might be.
I don't know about that, but
like, they do more damage than you. Well, maybe not on your paladin, but they will do more damage than you if you're a monk. And if they transfer all of that threat to you, like, they don't have your threat modifier, so I guess they're probably adding about 20% threat. Like, if you have 5x threat modifier and you add one more on top, that's 6x, so it's about a 20% increase in threat, which is basically like adding the Heart of Azeroth threat modifier back.
It's funny about that one, but the Heart of Azeroth was 50%, but
no, it was, I thought it was a 30% increase.
No, oh. It was 50%. It took you from 5x to 7.5x.
Yep, you're right. It's a 30%
loss.
Loss, yeah. Stupid numbers.
Percentages are hard.
Math is hard. Don't do math, kids. But yeah.
Doesn't need much, but just a little bump would make things feel so much better.
Yeah.
It's, I don't know.
I'm very not happy. Well, for one thing, once we found out that this was a thing, I was absolutely planning on always wearing my Heart of Azeroth in keys. Like, it could have no stats on it. I would wear it in keys.
I would wear it just for quality of life because it feels so much better when you don't have to care. I can actually play the game.
Like, and it's not even just not caring. It's like, I had so many instances today where I tabbed to something, I threw a judgment at it. I tabbed to something, I threw a Hammer of Wrath at it because I'm in wings. So I threw a Hammer of Wrath at it. I tabbed to something, I taunted it. And then there's just that first thing that I hit, I no longer have threat on it because I spent two GCDs, well, a GCD and tabbing to another one for an off GCD ability. But, you know, I spent 2 or 3 seconds hitting a different mob. And now I don't have threat on the first one anymore, but I can't taunt it back. And this was made worse by the fact that I was in an all ranged group because anything that got pulled away ran away from me, and then I could not actually hit them with my melee abilities. I needed to be Judgment or Taunt or Hammer of Wrath. But it's very not happy about the state of threat. I will leave it at that. Do you have anything else you wanted to talk about today, Panini? I know I said this was going to be a mini episode, and I guess by our standards it will be because we're only at about an hour. But
An episode with me that doesn't run over is...
It's a short episode.
Yeah. But no, yeah. I think we pretty much covered it. I was mostly planning to talk about the threat modifier, and we got an opportunity to talk about that.
Oh yeah. I can't imagine they leave it this way, but this is, like Lincoln was saying earlier, he's pessimistic about the leather working changes. I expect we'll get a hot fix because it's going to impact leather working, like leather legendary accessibility, which impacts more classes than anything else. I expect we'll get that in the hot fix. Threat changes 9.1 is optimistic, honestly, as far as I'm concerned. But
it's not one of those things that it's not one of those pressing things that is like, oh my god, it has to be fixed or the game's broken, you know, all that stuff. It's just it feels so bad and it's such an easy fix that it's so frustrating.
Yeah. One day they'll figure it out.
There's very few things that when people say, oh, this is an easy fix, that it's actually an easy fix. Threat is one of those ones that is actually an easy fix. That's a tunable modifier that is a single variable on every tank spec.
Even if they wanted to get, you know, fancy with it and give every tank a different way of generating AoE threat beyond just AoE damage. Is it that hard to like tack an AoE threat thing on, you know, when Avenger Shield interrupts things, generate AoE threat or shit like that? Like, just give us something so that we can hold threat in AoE. Because it sucks. We're not going to stop pulling in AoE. Like, it's not going to happen. If threat's an issue, we'll just bring another rogue. There's no amount of threat we could have where bringing another rogue would not solve it.
Yeah. It's frustrating. But this turned into a bit of a tank episode.
Yeah, well, that's what you get when Anomaly's not on the show. I get to run it. But yeah, I think that is going to just about wrap it up for today. So if you enjoyed this episode, this podcast, and you want to support it and all the other work, the guide writing, the WoW Analyzer work, all the other stuff that we do over at the Peak of Serenity, you can do that over on our Patreon at patreon.com/peakofserenity. And as always, we really appreciate your support, both financially through Patreon, from showing up for the stream, hi, and for coming and hanging out in Discord, whether it's in Brew Lounge or coming to one of the questions channels and helping out, or just coming to one of the discussion channels and talking about, you know, the game. That's why we're all here. So thank you all for listening once again, and we will see you next week. Bye.